June 25th, 2016. It's the White Pete Rose Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show in Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. For the next month and a half, he has really trippy teaching schedule, so I have to be in man alone mode, but I'm not exactly in man alone mode because I'm joined here from Joshua Tree Natives, Larry Leo Boast. Welcome aboard.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We start off the show with John Coltrane doing The Last Blues with Eric Dolphy. Live probably somewhere between April and July 1963, maybe in Cali. Not a lot of info known, just found this stuff. Then we had Tank from Pole Anchor. Pole Anchor is a band with Larry and Leo Boast.
Yeah, that's right.
Leo, what's your earliest musical memory?
Man, playing pots and pans in my grandparents' living room when I was like 5, 6.
You think you were playing before you ever listened?
No, I think I was listening before I was playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like what, like radio records?
Radio records, you know, my dad, my family, you know.
You remember your oldest memory of a song?
Oh, man, that's crazy because I've heard many songs as a young kid, you know?
Yeah, but do you remember the first one?
That's hard to say. That's crazy. I guess the answer is no. No, that's going way back.
Sometimes you can't remember.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah.
There ain't no wrong answer to that kind of question.
Right.
That's what it is. If you can't remember, then, hey.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember big pause? Do you remember banging on the pots and pans? Because of why?
Just because I like the drums.
Okay.
You know?
And there was no drums around.
No.
What made you think of pots and pans?
Just drums. Just, you know, I don't know. It's just
the round.
Kind of, it's the rhythm.
We had a drum set, but we gave him the pots and pans, so it wasn't, you know. So he had something to do.
Oh, so you kind of foisted.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Okay. I mean, you know, when you got a 5-year-old, and then, you know, you got yourself a little practice room in the back, and he wants to, you know, we'd bring him in, and he'd hit the kit that he plays now.
Yeah.
So you actually had some experience with a drum set in the pad or in a prac pad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's righteous. So you had music in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His whole life.
Yeah. As long as I could remember.
Okay. So do you remember when you came off the pots and pans and went onto the prac pad drum set that was always there?
Man, that's going way back. I can't recall.
It was past five.
Yeah, it was past five. Yeah, when I could touch the floor and get up on the throne, yeah, by myself.
I think you were kicking your first beats at about, like, I'm going to say about 10 years old.
So, like, 5 years you're on the pots and pans.
Where he's, like, kicking.
Wow, a long time.
Yeah.
Now, what are you playing? Are you using drumsticks? Are you using spoons and shit?
No, I graduated from the out of the spoons and then got more into the drumsticks. Yeah,
drumsticks. So you use the drumsticks on pots that are flipped over, right?
Yeah.
And so are you like how I am now on the deck, in them spread out, or are they on the table?
No, I had these little blocks that I'd make a seat out of, and then I'd prop the pans up like a drum set and.
Okay.
Start going at it.
Because there's no hardware involved.
Yeah, no. Yeah, pretty easy.
Just put a book under there so you can get some air coming out of the
top. And you're not rocking any kick.
No. I'm just kicking it with my big toe.
All right, so about 10 years old, you go over to the prac pad drum kit.
Yeah.
What was the difference felt like?
Just the sound, the feeling of the skins and everything. And
well, they kind
of
push back, too, huh? Pots and pans, it's like playing a tabletop.
Yeah.
So the real skins, huh?
Yeah.
And cymbals.
Yeah.
You couldn't really do cymbals.
Yeah, no.
In the pot and pan world.
Nothing like that. But
colander.
Wore that on your head for a helmet.
Yeah.
Pastafarian. You know about that? Yeah, some dudes have like, you know, there was some case I saw on the internet where this guy's driver's license in Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
I want to wear my, you know, headgear. And they had to say, well, that's a religious rite.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. So, when you're jamming on the pots and pans and then move over to the prac pad drum set, this is all man alone. You're not jamming with other people?
No, yeah. And
are you playing your records?
No, I just started playing by myself.
I asked this because George Hurley, he bought the Who.
Oh, okay.
And got some headphones, and he said he learned... The one with Big Ben on the record cover, I don't know, Happy Jack or My Generation, one of those early ones. He said that's how he learned. He just got the record and just kept playing with the headphones.
Right. Heck yeah.
Because he got tired of almost drowning doing surfboard. So, yeah. It's an incredible story. So that's why I'm wondering. So you... No way. You didn't do records?
No, I listened to records for inspiration and
but
for...
But you know what I mean is play along with.
No.
That was a big thing in the 70s. People played along with records.
Right.
It was, you know, no one... There was not a lot of... On the low level, a lot of original songwriting.
Okay.
So, when did you first begin to play with other cats?
Well...
Your pop?
Yeah, like with my pops and just, you know...
Yeah, when? Like junior high?
Yeah, I'd say probably around junior high. Yeah.
He's the first cat you play with?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I
was there.
Yeah. And I remember...
And was it two-man mode?
Yeah, it's always
because
two-man
that's,
mode.
That's polite.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe the impetus of the group, the beginning, comes back to these days when you first want to play with someone.
It was a slow evolution.
Yeah.
It was, you know, his child doing his things on his pots and pans, and then, you know, jumping onto the real kit, you know, as soon as he could physically be big enough to work that kick drum and hit the cymbals and everything, that's when he squatted on the drum set.
Yeah.
Now, there's other dudes at school playing, right?
Yeah.
And did they hear about you being a drummer, man? Did you get some invite?
No, not really. It was kind of like...
So I had Ruben from the Freaks on here. He said he was 16... Those guys from Nebula or something, Fu Manchu. They came to his house.
Yeah.
Did
you hear that show?
Yeah, I've heard that.
That was a crazy story. They come to his house. Hey, will you come and join our band?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good way to get that.
That's crazy.
And he's playing, the Casa de la Raza in Santa Barbara. His story was amazing. Well, the most amazing father-son for me was having a... Steve Droz, Flamin' Lip, he was playing drums for his daddy in a country band that was working pads
at 6 years old. Wow.
He's at pads, isn't that just Pratt?
Right.
Wow.
Let's listen to some music.
Thank you. food. Where illness is away. Caring for mistakes and for truth. A song of walking cross. Often in our grace. That's why the word is a living prayer.
In aspiration, wash up then shave by the Bolton Evening News. Take Marcus for a walk, flit to Indochina. Thank you.
magic.
To kiss you.
value in my heart. Try to love you, kick it free from harm. My heart's in the ground, buried under a mound. My heart's in the sand, in a foreign land.
Pedro show. Started off with the Madonna from Tobacco, brand new. Versal 2 from Lemon Kittens. I found my old Lemon Kitten records from the late 70s. Love that stuff from England. I think their first album's name is called We Buy Daddy a Hammer. Which is funny because my pops, right, James Richard Watt, always called Dick. So my pop always called Dick's hammers. You can call him Dick's because he was a dick. I got some of his tags from after the Navy did air conditioning. I said Dick.
Right on.
It went on my monitor computer. Then Subliminal Cow Part 4, Mr. Susan from England too. Howie Reeve from England but lives in Scotland. With Liss from his new album. Al's Bag, brand new album. Program. And brand new Deerhoof, The Devil and His Anarchic Surrealist Retinue. Yeah, Master Margarita. That's what I thought of when I heard that. You know this?
No.
Mikhail Bulgakov. A beautiful book. A fucking a mind blow. And then Miss Melvis, her new proj, Duo Decibel System, way down there. Nostromo from Iowa with Rabbit and Docile. And then finally from Belgium. It's spelled T-Z-I-I. So I don't know. But the name of the song I can read, Fake People with Fake Ideals. Okay. Brother Larry.
Yes, sir.
Your first musical memory.
My first
that you can recall.
That I can
remember, there's no wrong answer.
Well, I my first musical memory is singing in a children's choir.
Okay, singing.
And
doing it, not hearing it.
Yeah, just doing it, just singing in the choir. Yeah. And then my first like musical experience, I was like 7 years old, and my parents got me piano lessons with this Georgia lady over there in Long Beach, and her name was Mrs. Herndon. And she taught us piano. Me and my sister would go over there for piano lessons. And
she's strict.
She was old school, but and
like
she's
ruler on the knuckle.
Well, no, she was sweet. She was a Southern belle, but she was trying to teach me to read music. But I wouldn't read the music. I would just watch her hands, and she'd play the song, and then I'd see where how she played it, and I'd play it.
Yeah, but you didn't want to sight read.
I would pretend to sight read.
Yeah.
I'd pretend to...
You're using your ear and then copy from the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I learned in that way. And then I didn't get my first guitar until I was about 13 years old.
Well, how long you do that piano?
I did it... I don't know. We always had a piano around, so, you know, I'd always...
No, those lessons...
All those lessons, probably about like 2 years.
Okay. And what'd you tell your mom? Done.
I didn't want to go. I thought it was lame.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, it was boring. You know,
what about your sister? She kept going?
Yeah, they kept on going. Her and my mom, you know, my mom played piano and learned how to play. And they
same kept teacher?
Same teacher, yeah.
Miss Herndon?
Mrs. Herndon.
What part of Long Beach?
I grew up at 1421 Clark Avenue, right, really close to the traffic circle.
Yeah.
PCH.
70.
Yeah, over in that little area right there.
Yeah, one of the only roundabouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got here. SoCal.
But we left Long Beach in 79.
Yeah.
And then I went to...
Desert Rock.
To the desert, and I got my first guitar at 13.
There's no piano in the pad?
Always had a piano at the pad.
Even in the desert?
Even in the desert.
All right.
So yeah.
But you wanted. Why'd you want the guitar?
Because it was cooler.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it's funner. It's more accessible.
Yeah.
I could drag it with me.
Yeah.
You know.
You'd have to be in the living room.
Yeah.
Because there's no electronic, no synth.
Yeah, it's just kind of boring. It just reminded me of church.
No, what
or
I
something.
Mean is, when the synths came, you could bring those things down the pads.
Yeah, you could,
but not a player piano.
No, not a big old upright piano. Upright. Jesus Lord. Yeah. So, anyways, So yeah, you know, I started playing, having bands in high school. It had some cool bands. We had a lot of good times out there in the desert, having generator parties, stuff like that.
What was your first band called?
Hearsay.
And how'd it get together?
My best friend George.
Yeah.
We just bored kids. There wasn't a lot to do in the desert, so we was gonna start a band. We were like, listening to a lot of REM. It was mid-80s. We were listening to REM,
yeah,
and listening to your guys' music and stuff like that that you guys were doing. And
was it a two-piece?
No, it was a four-piece: bass, drums, vocal.
Well, how'd you get the other two guys?
Friends in high school. You know, just different friends in high school.
But it started with you.
Me and George. We were best friends.
Yeah.
Just best friends. And then,
what'd you say? We got to find two other?
Yeah, we got to find two others. So we found this girl. Her name was Stephanie Fowler. And she was a drummer. And she's really, really cool. And then we had this guy, Dave Harmon, that was singing for us. And we did our thing. Then, you know, people go their own separate ways, go to college. You know, you wanted to leave the desert. You know, the desert was really boring back then. You know, not like it is now. Now it's a kind of a cool music scene up there, you know. A lot of folks playing.
You're talking 80s.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much like just retired military, active
Alpha
military.
Bill.
Oh, man, retirees, bikers, junkies. Interesting.
You know what?
Did a lot of hiking.
Look, a farmer will tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Amen.
So maybe, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you came out of that.
Yeah. Had a lot of time. We were blessed. We had my friend George, his parents had a cabin and all hooked up. That was our practice. That's all we did. We'd go to school, go to the practice pad, smoke pot, and make up tunes. Because we didn't know how to, you know, copy. You know, so we just write tunes.
Did you record them?
Oh, yeah. But they never went nowhere because we didn't have no access.
We didn't do gigs. It was just
practice. Oh, we did lots of gigs.
Oh, you did?
Oh, hell yeah, up there.
Oh, but
sure did.
Okay.
Sure did.
And what were they? Like keggers?
Oh, yeah. Shit, man. You know, there wasn't a lot of economical growth up there in those days, so we'd get kegs, sell beer, you know, get a sheet of acid.
You were saying generators, so these are pads without even power.
Oh, we do generator parties like out in the middle of the desert. Then so we've had a couple of, you know, house parties and stuff like that too. You know, we do both. We do just kind of mix it up.
But there was no really venue.
No, not for what we were doing.
We're at the end of the first hour, June 25, 2016 edition, Wapito Show with special guest Paul Anker. Hold tight for hour two. June 25, 2016, the second hour. What Pedro Show.
Yeah. suicide way up high.
learn to hate better.
Bye.
me at the graveyard, baby. That way, he won't see us. 'Cause I just got to see you tonight. So just meet me at the graveyard, baby. I know what we doing is wrong, but I love you strong. So meet me at the graveyard. I just got to see you tonight. So just meet me at the graveyard, baby.
For Peter, our show start off the second hour with The Other Me from Papier Tigre, brand new album out of Brittany, part of France. Life Is Not Worth Living from Lester Bang and His Delinquents. Lester Bang's had a magazine in the 70s called Cream.
Yes.
Very Be Careful. Yeah, we got to play with these cats last week in El Cid in Silver Lake. And a great fucking God, I want to say this right. It's a Colombia kind of cumbia. It's called Vallenato. Vallenato. Court, yeah, beautiful, beautiful. The brothers, the Guzman brothers, and Rodrigo and Hermano Art. And they had us aboard. Excuse me, but we had a good time. Then, that was Panchama La Ropa. Ropas are clothes. Mm. So, you know, I asked them about these recordings. They said it's from their bootlegs. These dudes have bootlegs. Wow. You know about Johnny Thunders? He has this one bootleg in the Bootleggers where he's playing his bootleg songs and talking in between. It's a bust up, man. Okay. A Moment's Thought with God Fumes. Negative Example, that's Bucky out of Madison, Bucky Pope, with Hate Better. And then Gigi Band out of the Bay Area, Oaktown, AI, The Morning Commute, Big Crux with Sketches. Oh, that's the Neighbors. And Meet Me at the Graveyard from Andre Williams. Brother Steve played Andre. Brand new out of Bloodshot. Anyway, for you guys, when was the first pole anchor?
What was the first pole anchor?
What do you call it? Session?
The first
pole. Or what about talk? What about the idea? It comes out of you guys playing with each other, right?
It comes out of that. It also comes out of just being, you know, I've been in a lot of bands. You know, growing up, this band, that band, trying to do something cohesive, blah, blah. So, you know, I just grew old. And at that time, my son was getting good on drums. And I'm just like, oh, let's just do something simple. You know, let's just do bass and drums and do some, you know, records on it. And we just came up with this idea, and that came about in 2010. But I was also really influenced by my buddy Ray Shin. he's the one that turned me on to like Lightning Bolt and the idea of doing duos and you know, using records. He's a big influence for me. So I got to give a lot of kudos to that guy.
But you didn't put the sock on your boy's head.
No, man.
But that cat plays with sock on his head.
Yeah, he plays with socks on him. He ties a microphone.
And here's a mic.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets wet.
No. We kind of wanted to do our own thing. We don't want to be copycat. And the whole like thing with Paul Anka, the one thing.
No, but you were thinking Lightning Bolt in a way, like
we were
twofer,
but not just bass and drums. Like, you know, their big shtick is Gibson has a banjo string on his bass, so he gets
on the
G. You can get that real high thing. Our thing is this record thing, and you know,
but you gotta explain to the people the record thing.
Well, we
there's another component where those are the sounds people.
We do civil rights records.
Yeah.
And different, I got a Marine training record that we do, and we run these record players through volume pedals out amplifiers while we perform bass and drums.
Wicked.
So
how'd that come about?
Just we wanted to do samples, but we wanted to do it really punk rock. We didn't want to have computers.
Plus it adds like an element to the
music. So they just two for.
So it's kind of like three-way, like instead of having a guitar player,
baloney seat in the fucking airplane.
Yeah. Something like
let's
that.
Let's listen to some music. Thank you.
lots of nice songs.
How many times before have I crossed that ugly bridge into depression, lethargy, and anger, only to find myself lost, too tired to get out of the maze, wondering why I was sick, waiting forever for an answer, which is the final combination of drugs that release me from my symptoms and put me on a path to productivity. But in a lifelong state of anxiety, I still feel echoes of anger. I am fighting off bad thoughts, trying to do the right thing. I can be a better human being. Easy to do the right thing, to live right, eat good and laugh, to love and care and have a purpose, to really care about life. Now I have a work order day. I live a life in service. My medicine, my life, my organization all keep me fairly safe in remission, but I still hear the terrible call of a distant anarchic rage. It's just easier to ignore now.
Open, so you get that cavity filled.
Watch for Pedro Show. Nutsack with Andre Patate. Yeah, they're out of Montreal. And so is this next band. Leftovers Diable with Walter Wright with V. And also Double Date with Death, Man in the Sea. But, God, I can't remember the. Maybe Massachusetts. The Nards with Fall Soap. And then Dr. Amazon out of. Where's Starfish Club? Portland, yeah, out of Oregon, and Hell Beans from England with Slime, Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin, Distant Rage, Miles, what town is Cheap Trick from, Rockport, yeah,
Rockford, Illinois,
Rock,
they're actually from Love's Park,
okay, well, this is the guitar man's boy on drums, Miles. And then finally, Dick Deluxe with Brother Steve McKay, Snowing in Oakland. Yeah, big love, Brother Steve. You know who we lost a couple days ago?
Who died?
No, yesterday. Bernie Worrell. Brother Bernie Worrell. I mean, this man, he's Oregon man for a Funkadelic. Get a maggot brain. In fact, I got to do that song with him. And Jay Maskus, I changed the bass line. Well, the original don't have bass line, but I put I mix it with War Pigs. Okay. What's the first pole anchor gig?
First pole anchor gig?
There's echo in here.
Fuck, it was with you, man.
Yeah.
That really was. So all up to that time was Pratt.
Yeah. It was just practice.
When was the first practice?
We practiced once and did a few things in 2010, and then we didn't do anything. I went through a heavy divorce.
Yeah.
And kind of just like...
But the idea started in 2010.
Yeah. And then we picked it back up.
And what brought on that?
Man, just feeling good about life. You know, I moved on. I got, you know.
You're already jamming with them in the prac bed, right?
Yeah.
The idea of pole anchor comes in 2010.
Yeah.
Because you're feeling good.
Well, feeling good. I really wanted to do something just accessible, just with no drama. I have no drama with this dude. It's just two guys.
Other units.
Too many ideas, too much hassle. Oh, can you make it? I can't make it. You know, with this guy, we work together.
You mean not a lot of drive?
Not a lot of either drive. You know, it's just too. It's
drive means like kind of push.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to do this. I'm going to make this happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a lot.
Cash. Well, too cash. Didn't have the same too ideas bad. And stuff. It's just easier with just two guys.
Yeah.
It's just me and him.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? It'd be like in a marriage with four people. What would be easier? A plural marriage or a singular marriage? Right? You know? One person's good enough.
But you're saying there's 6 years in between the original idea.
Yeah. We just I had to reinvent myself. I started a business. Got back on my feet, living strong, and then all of a sudden, you know, Leo works with me every day. He's on the crew,
yeah,
and he's like, "Oh, Dad, let's start."
People, doing this. Larry does the landscaping in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, so we started Pole Anchor, and we do these civil rights. We do these old
let's talk about that name,
Pole Anchor. It's like Pole Anchor News. It's not a nautical term. It's not like an anchor on a boat or anything. It has to do with like Anchor News because we play these old presidential records, old civil rights records, just old stuff that we play over.
Oh, an anchorman.
Like an anchorman.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. You know, that's what it's
God,
all
who
about.
Who was it when we were boys? Who was the big anchorman?
Walter Cronkite.
Yes, Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
And then there was a team.
Which one?
Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
Huntley
and Brinkley.
Right.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, those, you know.
There used to be, what, like three or four news things.
Oh,
they
yeah.
all came from just, yeah, it was different, huh?
It was different.
But anyway. So putting together that gig then was really important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to come back out to the desert.
Right.
I didn't know it had so much heavy stuff on the pole anchor unit.
Yeah, it meant a lot to us. It meant a lot to us, you know. Wanted to share what we do. You know, we play with heavy hearts, me and Leo.
Right.
You know?
And just do what we love.
Yeah, for love.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's genuine.
Yeah, I would say.
There's a lot of jive out there. So I think when genuine comes, it's precious.
Yeah.
It's not to be mocked, taken. No respect. No. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just felt that vibe. I thought, yeah, we should get out there. Now, the problem was, drummer man Jared just broke his
hand. Yeah. That was rough.
Raul came to the rescue. Look, yeah, people, it's the end of the second hour, 2016, June 25. This is your Wapito Show special guest. Pull anchor, hold tight for hour three. June 25, 2016. It's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Live from Fedor Show. Start off third hour with Miles Cooper Seton doing Little Prince live. Joe Andreo's into him. We might get do some gigs. David Nesselhoff after that with a borrow from his solo thing. Joe Bouchard, Power Music from his solo thing. Joe Bouchard, bass player, Blue Oyster Cult. Big hero. For what? The Beat from Just Faith out of Pedro and Sing Goodness, Motown Fire Department. You guys just recorded. What's that about?
Well, we recorded 7 tunes.
Here in San Pedro.
Yeah.
At Casa Hanzo.
Yeah.
We got there at Pizzo's, what, 2?
Yeah, about like 2:30. We come down from Joshua Tree today to come record. Well, we did that show with you and we had a good time and we were invited to come down here and record.
Heck yeah.
I was really stoked. So I couldn't say no to that. So yeah. We hustled our butts down here.
Yeah.
And got those tracks down pretty fast. We were pretty fast. It only took us about like...
Pizzo said 7 tunes.
Yeah. So we were out of there by 9. So it took us about like 6 hours, 7 hours to get her done. You know?
What was it like? Now, I played some pole anchor. In fact, at the beginning of the show, I played one.
Uh-huh.
Where was those done?
Those were done in an adobe house out in 29 Palms.
Yeah.
By a friend of ours. His name's Alex Stewart.
Not a lot of people live in 29 Palms.
Not a lot of Marines do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soldier. A lot of soldiers.
But there's some dudes doing music, dude.
Oh, there's lots of folks doing music now up in the desert. But my buddy, he was down here.
Where 29 Palms.
Yeah, from 29 Palms. Went to high school with this guy. He went to, you know, one of those schools and learned how to record. I think he went out to Florida or something, learned how to record. Got a degree in recording. So he was down in the desert. They got an adobe house. Walls like this, you know, like 2.5, 3
yeah.
foot thick.
People on radio, they can't look, Larry.
Walls.
Castle walls.
You can spread those arms, but they ain't going to look thick.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, hear that.
But I tell you what, it was a fun experience. We had a great time.
Yeah.
That was recorded with just one overhead condenser mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was, and it came out okay. It was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we re-recorded those 2 tunes today.
Yeah.
So only 5 new tunes.
So only 5 new tunes.
Okay.
And then we're going to start working on a whole new batch of tunes.
Okay.
Thank we're you. Really excited about that.
But what do you think about the experience today with fucking Pizzo?
It was fun.
Love Pizzo.
Yeah,
love
it was way
rad. It's just way relaxed there. Functional. Pizzo works great and fast. Fun. You know, a little hot and sweaty. Little hot and sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what.
You don't want any fan blown. Let's listen to some music.
Never miss a beat. Thank you.
me alone!
She shaved her head. Her head.
strip, stripping girl. You got me wishing that I never came around again. Lie on my girl into submission. It was just like we were wishing, but we'll never come back again. But while you, I was leaving. Just somehow I get the feeling, a voice like a pistol to my head. But trip, trip, tripping girl, you got me wishing that I never came around again. Look at square in the eyes, prepared to lie. When I get back, look, I feel kind of low. From the tiny little town that they call Navazo. Kicking back, and kicking back when it all comes back. When you look, I find that girl I don't even like. Says, Nick, I no longer like you too. Trip, tripping girl, you got me wishing that I never came around again. I got my girl into submission. It was just like we were wishing, but we'll never call back again. But why you always leaving? Cause somehow I get the feeling of words like a pistol to my head. But trip, trip, tripping girl, you got me tripping. Cause this medication's my best friend.
Rock for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. The Frogs live, Winchester Cathedral. Thank you, Bob, there in Detroit suburb of, I don't know, 13 Mile Road, somewhere around that far up. He's a beautiful man. Then we had Nick Milivoj with Disneyland and Hamtramck. Hamtramck is Polish part of downtown Detroit. Used to be a club there called Paychecks. And we call Shorties too, huh? That I've done. Yeah, Paychecks, because the dudes who would be drinking all week, they just signed the fucking paycheck. Had some good gigs with Edward Georgie, D. Boone, later at Shorty's. Yeah. Mailman with Brittany, The Freaks, there's Ruben. You know he's a drummer man. Mm-hmm. Sylvia. And Jad Fair and Hi-Fi Club and Captain Michigan. Yeah, Michigan. Ah, Frogs are Madison. No, they're Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Bucky's Madison. The Happies were Trippin'. I think they're Cali. From England, King Harvest and the Wait up, I think you call it Yorkshire. Like a white rose. Mm-hmm. The Town. And finally, Layman with Approximate. And I can't remember where that cat's from. But you left Long Beach in 1979 to live in the desert. How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
So from 10 years old, you lived the rest of your life in the desert. Leo.
No, I didn't live the rest of my life in the desert.
There's a little part where you come back.
I left in 88. I spent 9 years there, and then I went to Santa Cruz for about 21 years, and then I came back in 2008.
That's it. So. Leo.
Yeah.
Is your life a lot in the desert?
I was born there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, here...
You had some Cruz years.
Yeah, lived in the desert, lived in Santa Cruz, and, yeah, it's, you know...
Look, those are two different paths.
Yeah.
Cruz and Joshua Tree.
Yeah. Opposite ends of the...
Pert near. Yeah. They're both still Cali, though. Not opposite. Because right. Still California.
Yeah.
That's true.
Don't give up on that.
No.
No. California is that big. It can have that kind of experiences.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's one of the bitching things. I'm not trying to say we're better people. But we got some trippy things. We got some...
That's for sure. Yeah.
We got mountains and valleys, man.
And you guys lived it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how you compare? Leo, you first. Cruz, JT.
Man, it's kind of like 50-50 because, like, you know, like the desert's like home, like a hometown, but, man, Santa Cruz is nice, you know. Santa Cruz is bitchin', it's nice and green.
So you feel more roots in the desert?
Yeah, I do.
But something about, like, the climate, the actual being there, you like it better in Cruz.
Yeah, and plus, like, up there, you know, I...
The peoples?
I started, when I was up there, I started learning a lot more about music and playing it.
And more a little isolated out desert?
Yeah, and
not,
then
not
like,
so much learning,
but it's still playing. You know, I mean, I still
sure with your pop.
Yeah,
but there was you met some kind of community there in Cruz.
Yeah, like you know, I had my friends and everything, and
they're all playing, they're all jamming.
Yeah, you know, they're all doing their thing, and like you know, too, just you know, really looking into the art. You know,
your opinion.
My opinion, environmentally, I like Santa Cruz. It's nice. Socially, it's all right. It's got good points and bad points. It's a positive and negative wherever you're at. You know, it's really progressive. When I first moved there from Josh Tree, it's kind of culture shock. You know, I started learning more about social, organic food, you know, things like that. But then, to my surprise, I moved back to Joshua Tree in 2008. It all changed in Joshua Tree.
Because other people came in and changed.
And changed it. Now it's kind of, got, you know, we got a farmer's market. You know, we got a roasting company for coffee.
You think that came from
up north,
people coming in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Cruz, but Cruz probably was part of people coming in, too. Oh, yeah. This is College Town, right?
Yeah, there's a big Cruz Joshua Tree connection.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of hippies and, you know, deadheads that came to the desert. And
because I know there's a big L.A.
I think the first big musical.
Ah, it's music. That's right.
Thing is, when Graham Parsons started coming out to Joshua Tree, he died in I think 1973.
Yeah.
Out there.
And got burned there.
Yeah, Cap Rock.
They got popped and shit. His body popped.
But hey, him and Kaufman, they had a pact, and his buddy was true to the pact. I love that.
Buddy or manager?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Okay.
You know?
Both. but there's good shit about Cruz, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But like you say, the location.
Yeah, the beaches, the fresh air, good food, great coffee, microbrewery, great meat. The Catalyst. Come on. Yeah. You know, downtown. First time I saw you was at the Catalyst with Fire Hose.
I think that's the only place you could play. There was something in the hills called OT Prices for a little while, but I did a lot of Catalyst.
Yeah.
I did there a little while ago, maybe with the Italian guys a year and a half ago.
Yeah?
Look, advice. What advice would you give somebody who's got a son who plays? He plays too.
I'd say just do your own thing. Do what's true to yourself. Do what makes you happy. If you're trying to do something that's other than that, you're faking it. You got to do what you love. You got to do what makes you happy.
And just, would you advise playing with your son?
Absolutely. He's my right hand man.
No, but there's other dudes. You got it good.
I was 21 when Leo was born. I was a kid myself. If you have a good relationship with your family member, and that's what, you know, hey, man, you know, do it. I mean, if you can't stand each other, then, hey, you know.
Don't do it. That's great.
Don't force it.
I've been so honored to have you on the show, Leo.
Right on.
Thank you, Mike. It's an honor to be here.
Paul Anker. People, it's been June 25, 2016, the audition WAPFITO show. Keep your powder dry.